What's up, everybody? My name's Jordan, and I'm here to bring you a new podcast that I'm calling One Man Watchpoint. It is, of course, an Overwatch podcast. Now, why would I create an Overwatch podcast, you say? Well, let me tell you a little bit about myself. Since the release of the game Overwatch there, I've been a big fan. I think I jumped in for the first time, either they had a open beta or something like that, and I played that, found it to be just a blast, loved the characters, loved their abilities, loved the sort of story they had going on there. And then shortly after, obviously, the game came out. I actually didn't get it at launch, but I got it, I think, the holiday season after that. And I've been playing ever since. It's definitely one of my favorite games, one of the games I spend the most time with, and one of the games I keep coming back to, despite the fact that I do play many other games, many other genres. So who exactly am I, you're probably asking yourself? Well, my name's Jordan. I also go by Sir or Sir Dr. JM. I am not knighted. I do not have a PhD, but my initials are JM. So that's where all that comes from. Now, if you're like me, you probably found this because you like Overwatch as well. If you don't like Overwatch, I don't really know why you're listening to this. But hopefully, you do like Overwatch. And hopefully, you're down to listen to me talk about Overwatch for a little bit. Now, I'm not really certain where I'm going to go with this podcast. I'd love for it to become a weekly or bi-weekly thing that I do. Hopefully, I'll be able to find the time in my busy schedule to record it every week and then edit it every week and then also post it every week. But we'll see how things shake out. But for now, welcome, sit back, relax, enjoy, and hopefully you're down to have a good time with me. Let's get into a little bit about me, just so that we're all comfortable here. As I mentioned, you can call me Jordan, you can call me Sir, you can call me whatever you want. But the one thing we probably have in common is that we love Overwatch. I figure the best way to get to know me is probably by looking at some of my favorite characters and kind of going through them. I can tell you a little bit about who I like, who I play, maybe a little bit about who I don't like, and we'll see if we jive together. Of course, I'm always down for playing with some other people. I probably should say that I am a console pleb, so I play on PlayStation 4, but hey, you know, to each their own. I get it. Most of you probably play on PC. I do play on PC as well, but I just like my console gaming. I've been a console gamer for a long time. Anyways, let's get into my favorite characters, because that's going to be fun. Now, I mostly play support. I am by no means an incredible player, although I think in large part, a lot of the time, the player is built on the shoulders or something of his teammates or her teammates. And I've never really had a solid group that I play with or anything like that. But that said, I do tend to lean towards support. There was a period of time where I did like to play tank quite a bit. However, that was definitely in the GOATS meta, where you had a lot more tank opportunity. Nowadays, I feel like you're kind of restricted a little more into a few of the characters. But enough about tanks. Let's get into support so I can talk about some of my favorite characters. So looking at the roster of support characters right now, my number one favorite, and probably if I had to pick a main, my main or my favorite is definitely Zenyatta. I don't know what it is about that little robo-humanoid, but I just love everything about him. His little floating feet and his kit, his ult, his everything about him, his skins. I think he has some of the best skins in the game. There's an Overwatch League one that I think is fantastic, which I believe was for the MVP of the first season of Overwatch League. Someone who played for the New York XL, but I can't for the life of me remember his name. So I apologize about that. But regardless, that skin is amazing. Another skin that I'm a big fan of is definitely one of my favorite in the game, period, is the cultist skin for Zenyatta. I think that one's really cool. Really cool indeed. Zenyatta, definitely my go-to boy. I love to play him. Now, who else do we got on the support side of things? I do also enjoy Moira, who is obviously a little more in the meta right now. I typically speaking, I'll let someone else play her if they want to. But if we don't have one on our team and, you know, we're lacking on the heels for whatever reason. I generally find she can sort of change the tides of a battle, in large part because she does have that that ult that charges up so quickly, and then you can just, you know, blast it out. It's a good one for forcing people out of an area, or kind of, you know, pushing them back or holding them off for a period of time anyways. So I definitely enjoy Moira. Moira is one of the characters that I think is actually lacking quite a bit in the skin department. I'm not a big fan of most of her skins, but that said, she's got a few good ones. There's I believe the one called Minister, and there's one Oasis, I think it is, and I like both of those. She's also got a scientist skin for, I think, the anniversary event. That's definitely a good one, so I like her. I do find her fun. One thing she's particularly fun to play around with is when you play the arcade mode and the free-for-all, because, I mean, especially on Chateau Guillard, you just kind of toss out her little death orb and just watch it ping pong around and suck the life out of people. So that's always a good time. I actually, again, you know, back when Goat's Meta was the meta, I was a big fan of Brigitte. I just don't know what it was. Maybe it's her shield, maybe it's her mace, maybe it's her hairstyle, but I had a lot of fun with her. Actually, you know what? Another character lacking in the skin department. Although her newly announced goat skin is actually hilarious and awesome. But now that she's not quite really in the meta that much, she, I find, kind of quite lacking, generally speaking. Not the best at dishing out the heals, and because you've only got the two healer classes now, or characters, on a team, makes it a little bit harder to have her be really effective. And then recently I've started to dabble with Baptiste. When he first came out, I don't know what it was, I had a hard time wrapping my head around his kit, but I think as the time's gone on and as I kind of just try to play him more, I'm getting more and more used to it, and he's definitely probably. He's got to be one of the most well-rounded support characters, because he can dish out the heals and, you know, he can dish out the damage as well with his little burst fire gun there. I think he probably has some of the most versatility, especially out of any of the support characters. And by all means, his little no-dying drone, or whatever you want to call it, is definitely a big player when it comes to turning the tides of a battle. Can definitely save you in a pinch, that's for sure. Other than that, so those are probably, you know, I went through four of them. Those are probably my top four support characters. That said, you know, I do enjoy Lucio as well, but I just tend to not play him that often. I like to leave him up to the more skilled at wall riding teammates of mine, because, you know, I just find that I try to do the wall hoppity hop, but I just am not that great at it. So Mercy, I'm kind of meh on. I'm not a big fan, not against her really. I know she can be great when it comes to certain situations, but I just prefer not to play her really. And then Ana is awesome, but I can't play a sniper to save my life. So I'm just not super into Ana, but that's okay. I'll probably, let's take a look at the tankies here, because I think, like I said, tank role is one of my favorites to play, but with the shift in the meta to the 2-2 roll lock, 2-2-2 roll lock, I just haven't been that big of a fan, and I think it's because most of the tanks that I liked to play were not so much in the meta as much as others. Obviously, the two sort of main combo you saw in competitive and high level play was Orisa and Sigma. Orisa, I'm fine with. I can enjoy playing her, but generally speaking, she can also be a little boring because she's, you know, so slow and immobile and that kind of thing. And then Sigma actually probably the one character that I still, despite my best efforts, cannot seem to wrap my head around his kit. I find I'm very twitchy and very panicky with him, and I'll throw my shield and then it'll go too far, and then I'll call it back and then I'll send it not far enough, and then I'll get excited and cancel it out, and then I'm dead. So I'm not incredibly into Sigma. Cool character and concept, some good lore and story behind him. Would love to see how he fits into the universe sort of as a larger part, but hey, I know the game is lacking in that department a little bit. Good to have on your team, but I just can't play him. Now, enough about those two, because probably outside of, you know, actually playing him, but character-wise, one of my favorite characters in the game is definitely Winston. I don't know why. It could be because he's just a big, damn dirty ape who talks like a human, wears little glasses like a human. I find him a lot of fun to be as well. I often find he does feel a little underpowered without some really good heals, but regardless, you know, it's just fun to jetpack around and or blast yourself around. And then, especially when that ultimate gets charged up and you can just rage mode on people, that's always a ton of fun. So Winston, probably one of my favorite characters in the game, but, you know, unfortunately, I just don't play him too much because I find as far as tanks go, he tends to be a little bit on the weaker side. Outside of that, I'm also a big fan of Reinhardt, but I think for the most part, anyone who plays tank can play Reinhardt. He's just, you know, I think he's relatively easy to understand how to play. He's got his big hammer, he's got his big shield, you know, swing the hammer, hold up the shield. That's, you know, you want to get to the nuts and bolts of Reinhardt. That's what it is. Obviously, he's got a little bit more versatility than that, and you can do some more interesting things with him. But I think for the most part, he's, generally speaking, one of the easier characters to play. So you do see a lot of people play him, which is fine. But in the higher levels, obviously, you see a lot more Sigma and Orisa. So it is what it is. Roadhog is an interesting one just because of his self heals rather than having a shield. Fun to play, but, you know, again, you don't see him too often. Although when you do see him, oftentimes it is someone who's pretty badass with him, so that's always exciting. The rest of the gang, I mean, in the overall scheme of things, I definitely don't mind any of the tanks, with the exception of Sigma. Wrecking Ball, I'm kind of meh. D.Va, I'm kind of meh. Zarya, I actually like, but, again, you know, I'd play any of them if you held a gun to my head and said, play all of them. I mean, I would, and then I'd complain about Sigma, but that'd be it. Now then, the biggest category, of course, is the damage group. Once upon a time, assault and defense, or offense and defense, or something like that. I don't even remember now. God, it's been a long time since the game came out. Regardless, let's take a look at these characters, and I'll kind of pick out a few faves, and I'll pick out a few not-so-faves. Looking at the list, I mean, as I said before, I cannot play a sniper to save my life. I don't know what it is. I just can't. So Widowmaker, not high on my list. That said, and Ashe as well. Ashe, cool as a character, but yeah, I can't play her worth anything. Interestingly enough, though, one of my favorite guys to play is McCree, who I get it. He's kind of a, you know, no-scope sniper, but I don't know what it is. I have a good time with him. I pop headshots. I, you know, interrupt people. I just like McCree. You don't see him played too much in high-level play these days, mostly, I think, because his ult kind of sucks. But at the same time, I know with, I can't remember if it's the recent patch or if it's recent updates on the PTR, but I know they're testing out some things like giving him the ability to move at, I think regular speed in terms of rotation. So he can look around at regular speed even when he's ulting, so he can kind of get more people in his line of view rather than the slow motion, kind of slow as molasses turn he used to do. So that's exciting to see, at least. Another one of my favorite guys in the damage category is actually Junkrat. Again, don't see him play too often in high level, but I love his kit. I love his bombs. I love his mines. I love his attitude. I love him as a character. He's just a lot of fun to play, especially kind of, you know, again, when you're playing the free-for-all. Him and McCree, actually, I like them both because, I mean, Junkrat, you kind of just go crazy, launch your bombs everywhere, throw your mines at people, walk around a corner, someone's standing there, you just blow them up, and then McCree, you can just pick off headshots. So I like the two of them a lot. Looking at the list outside of that, I mean, Reaper, I feel kind of similar as to how I felt about Reinhardt. Reaper has, you know, a bad attitude, and he kind of just shoots his shotties where he wants, and that's that. When his ult's charged, if you time it right and drop it on people with a good surprise, then he can be awesome. I was playing the other night in some competitive, and I randomly got into damage. Just, you know, I normally queue for damage and support, and I just kind of see which one I get, and I managed to get damage. So I went as Reaper on Eichenwald, and I managed to flank the team, like, probably a solid, you know, successful flank, a solid four times. One of the times I dropped down from the bridge on top of them and popped my ult and took out, I think, three or four of them. So he's a lot of fun, and he's got, you know, a pretty powerful moveset. So I enjoy him a lot. Another one that I'm a big fan of is Tracer. You know, you can kind of see here, I've got all the classic characters to the game I'm a big fan of. Tracer, probably the, you know, poster girl for Overwatch. But again, kind of similar to Reaper. If you can get behind enemy lines, you can start flanking people. She's a lot of fun. Her kit is probably, in my opinion, one of the more interesting ones. Obviously, I like characters with sort of a backup plan with Tracer and Reaper. So it's fun to, you know, pop into a battle or whatever, and then, you know, either Wraith form or just blink yourself out of there or rewind yourself out of there if that's the case. So I have a lot of fun with all of those guys. Outside of that, again, you know, I don't really have anything against most of the damage characters, with the exception of the snipers, and probably with the exception of maybe Mei, Genji, Doomfist. I'm just thinking, you know, I enjoy playing them, but man, I can't keep up with Genji or Doomfist. People who can play those guys at a high level are just amazing in my books. I would love to be able to play at the level they play, because when you have either a good Genji on your team, or you're playing against a good Genji, or Doomfist for that matter, man, they just pop in, pop out, pop in, pop out, pop in, pop out, and you can barely keep track of them, which is really cool and really awesome to witness. But when you're playing against it, it sucks. And when you can't play one of those characters at that level, it also sucks. Because let me tell you, I'd love to just, you know, punch people in the face with Doomfist or chop them up with Genji. But for whatever reason, maybe my reflexes just aren't that good. But I'm not a super duper guy at those two characters there. And I know I mentioned Mei. Well, I don't know. She's a Cancer, so. Anyways. Yeah, so that's probably overall the majority of my thoughts on characters. I'm sure more of this stuff will come up through the weeks here as I record more and as I talk more. But that kind of hopefully gives you a little bit of insight into me. You know, going back to support again. And probably overall, my favorite character to play is Zenyatta. I wish he was a little more in the meta right now, so that, you know, you don't get people asking you to switch to Moira or asking you to switch to Baptiste in competitive play. But at the same time, I mean, you know, I generally try to do what's best for the team, and I'll swap characters if people think I should be someone else. But then again, you know, if we're sucking and I'm on Baptiste, or if we're sucking and I'm on Moira, and I, you know, have a feeling that I can do better on Zenyatta, then I'll switch over to Zen, and hopefully most of the time I can kind of surprise some people. I digress. That is that. So a little bit more about me, just so maybe, you know, you get a little more comfortable and you'll want to keep listening to me yammer into a microphone for a little bit. What else do I like about Overwatch, man? I love the story that they've got going on. I wish, obviously, just like so many of us, that there was more. There's some really interesting sort of pieces at play, if you ask me. Especially, like I said, most recently with Sigma, and sort of his backstory. It would be great to see how some of these elements intertwine with each other or mingle with one another. You know, obviously, again, with Ashe and McCree, I remember her announcement trailer, that was a big deal, it felt like, because we finally got to see some lore with, you know, someone like McCree. And then we saw, even at the end of that trailer, there was a big reveal there too. So that was obviously tantalating. But again, you know, it would be great to see a lot more development in the story. I'm not sure if anyone else is aware, but I mean, Blizzard has published some digital comics. I'm not sure if they're available in print form, but I know I read them digitally, about Overwatch, and it's just kind of little side stories, little short stories about some of the characters. Some of it a little more, you know, intertwined with things than the others. But regardless, I always find them a lot of fun to read, and, you know, some great art and everything like that. So let's see. What else? Oh, man, I think, you know, I'd be remiss not to just talk about the genre as a whole. I've been a first-person shooter fan for a little while now. Well, not quite a little while. A decent number of years, I'll say. I kind of honestly started really getting into first-person shooters with Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. Not Modern Warfare 2, not Modern Warfare 3. The original Modern Warfare. That was kind of my first foray into competitive multiplayer online first-person shooters, if you will. And just, you know, me and some friends got really into it and kind of started climbing the leaderboards, and I've really enjoyed first-person shooters ever since. I've kind of, you know, wavered here and there, gone back and forth between a few different games, or, you know, as the new hotness comes out, I'll jump over there for a bit, and then for a long time I always just fell back to Modern Warfare and eventually moved on from there as that game got sort of older and older. I actually haven't even played the most recent reboot of Modern Warfare, but I definitely was interested, and I'd love to give the multiplayer a try. But that said, that kind of sort of sprouted my love of the first-person shooter genre. And then, obviously, back in 2016, when Overwatch came out with... Overwatch. Ha 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 ha. When Blizzard came out with Overwatch, it was really exciting to see them doing the first-person genre, because I think... I mean, if you looked at their games in the past, traditionally, you know, they were, first of all, very, very into the PC market, obviously with World of Warcraft being their bread and butter, which I did play for many years as well, but also being, you know, focused on the sort of RTS, or I don't know what you want to call that, third-person isometric, I believe is what it's often referred to, speaking, of course, about Diablo. And then eventually, you know, obviously they got into Hearthstone too, which Hearthstone's a whole nother thing that I'm not really a fan of that genre. But regardless, the point is, when Blizzard announced they were coming out with Overwatch, and it was this exciting new first-person shooter, hero-based, competitive multiplayer game, I felt like it was a big deal. I was very excited. And obviously I, you know, followed the development of it and then eventually followed it up to release. Like I said, I actually didn't pick it up right away, which who knows why, but I eventually got in and hey, I've stuck with it ever since. Going on from there, I mean, I definitely played the game, Overwatch, on and off for quite a while. Pretty consistently, I would say, until... probably early 2018. And then, you know, took a little bit of time off, just kind of wavered, played some other games, that kind of thing. And eventually I just thought, you know, oh man, there's been a lot of new heroes and that kind of thing, lots of updates, new maps. Why don't I give it a try? And I picked it back up, and I found that, yep, it's still fun. Still just as enjoyable as it was before. So I kept playing, and then fast forward a little while later, and we got many more heroes, many more maps, and then I guess I discovered the Overwatch League. And I guess, you know, to be honest, I was always aware of it. I knew it existed. I knew it was a thing, but I was never too into it. You know, I didn't even really know the teams in the inaugural season or anything like that. And then I guess it would have been last year, so 2019, around about maybe end of March, maybe April, maybe May, something like that. I just kind of decided, hey, you know, let's get into Overwatch League. So I started looking into it, finding out who's who and what's what. I quickly learned that Vancouver had just won the Stage 1 finals, and that Stage 2, I believe, had just started at the time, maybe. Or maybe it was a few weeks out from starting when I started looking into it. Regardless, I kind of started looking into it and was like, you know, I could get behind this. Watched a game or two on Twitch after the Stage 2 started. And then I was like, yeah, I'm into this. I'm into it. You know, I've always been a fan of watching people play games, especially people who are highly skilled at them. I think just like most things, you know, one of the best ways to learn how to make yourself better is by watching others who are better at something do that something, because you as long as you're paying attention, you pick up on cues and you pick up on techniques and you pick up on a lot of skills. And I definitely actually found that after watching Overwatch League, starting to watch it, you know, on a more regular basis, I found I started to get better in competitive, actually. But I can talk a little bit more about that later. But anyways, I eventually decided to take a look at the team list and see who was who, and, you know, kind of just pick a team to cheer for. So I pulled up the list and I kind of went through and thought, oh, you know, like Shanghai, that's kind of cool. You know, we got, you know, Seoul, and they've got black and gold. So, you know, I'm a big fan of black and gold. And then, you know, well, Dallas Fuel, that's kind of a cool name. And they've probably got, if you ask me, the best colors in the league, with the sort of dark blue and then the lighter blue. And they got a sick logo. It's a little flame. So I like that. But of course, you know, I'm a good old-fashioned Canadian boy, so I'm a sucker for a Canadian team. So I eventually started looking at the two Canadian teams, with Toronto and Vancouver. And of course, I kind of said, well, you know, unless you're from Toronto, you're not usually a fan of Toronto. So I also took a look at where they were in the standings and kind of went, yeesh, yeah, maybe not. Let's see how Vancouver's doing. And wouldn't you believe it, Vancouver was sort of on the top of their game at that point. They hadn't lost the Stage 2 finals yet, so everyone knew they were a force to be reckoned with. A force of nature, if you will. So I decided to become a Vancouver Titans fan. And from there, you know, the rest is history. Got myself a hoodie, got myself a hat, and been following them ever since. Obviously, they had a very good second or inaugural season for them in the Overwatch League. It wasn't the first Overwatch League season. It would have been season two, but it was their inaugural season. And so followed them the whole season long. I mean, in large part, I watched, honestly, most games. So I kind of got to know most teams a little bit. There's still a few blind spots, a few of the more bottom teams that I just didn't really connect with too much, or, you know, just didn't pay too much attention to, so I'm not too familiar with them. But I did watch a lot of Overwatch League, so I got pretty into it. And yeah, the rest is history in terms of that season. The exciting part is now we get to look forward to the next season, which, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm looking it up, as of this recording, next season starts in 10 days now. Okay, their Instagram story says 11 days, but the countdown timer on it is 10 days, 3 hours, 39 minutes. So sorry to date myself, but that tells you when I'm recording this. But I'm very excited. Coming up on, I believe it is February 8th. Yes, February 8th, we have our first couple of games, 8th and 9th, Saturday, Sunday. And you know what? I think I would love to just take a look at those right now and see who's matching up against who. We're going to call this the Overwatch League Minute, except it'll probably be longer than a minute. We'll come up with a better name for it later. But this is a segment where I talk about the Overwatch League upcoming schedule. Maybe I'll start doing a thing where I recap the previous week's matches. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll see. All right, so let's see what we've got here. I'm just going to pull it up in front of me. Saturday, February 8th at 11 a.m. Oh, I didn't mention this before. I should probably mention this. I'm obviously a good Canadian boy, and I'm based out of the Calgary, Alberta area, just to give you an idea of where I am. So all my time zones and or time, whatever you want to call it, will be in Mountain Standard Time. So 11 a.m. Saturday, February 08, the first match of the season. We've got the Toronto Defiant playing the Paris Eternal. That is decently interesting. Not super interesting, but I feel like a good way to start the season. You know, both of them, not dominant teams, that's for sure. Paris, a team that I'm not too familiar with, but Toronto, on the other hand, a team that I'm quite familiar with, having watched them sort of rebuild over the offseason. I know they also brought home Sherfour from the LA Gladiators, and the reason I say brought home is because he's Canadian as well. He's actually from a place in Alberta, if I'm not mistaken, where I know lots of people who went to school there. So he's living in Toronto now, obviously playing with the Toronto Defiant, which is exciting and must be exciting for him. Anyways, they rebuilt their team quite a bit in the offseason, so it'll be really interesting to see what they can make of this next season. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they also signed Nevix from the San Francisco Shock. Nevix, of course, someone that we didn't see play most of the season, but San Francisco did play him in a final game, one of the final games, one of the final games in the finals, not the stage four finals, but the actual finals, the grand finales, that's what it's called, grand finals, whatever. They did let him play, and I think largely that was kind of a, you know, we want you to be able to say you played in the final, so we're going to put you in for a round or two or whatever. And I think that was really, other than stage one, which obviously I didn't watch because I wasn't following the league then, I don't think he got much playtime outside of that. So anyways, he's with Toronto now, so that'll be exciting to see. And then Paris, like I say, I don't know them very well. I didn't really follow them at all. So who knows what they're doing. But, you know, I'm always going to cheer for a Canadian team over another. So go Toronto, I guess. I don't really care. Anyways. The next game, also on February 8th at 1 p.m., is the London Spitfire facing off against the New York Excelsior. Now, that game will be quite interesting. London, of course, everyone expected to be really good in the last season, and I think everyone was quite surprised when they were kind of okay-ish, I guess. I think they had some major performance issues, especially towards the end where they just kind of flopped and fizzled out. You know, plane crash, if you will. Crash and burn. Get it? Because they're London Spitfire. Spitfire's and a little small aeroplane from the war, as noted by their logo. Anyways, it'll be interesting to see what they do because they, I think, I can't think of any specific players they brought onto their team, but I think they rebuilt quite a bit in the offseason. I think they got rid of Profit. I could be wrong about that. Could be another player that starts with a P. But anyways, it'll be interesting to see what they do. And then New York, you know, another high-level performer that, although I don't think they surprised anyone placing where they did last season, I think they are one to watch for sure. They definitely had a bit of the special sauce, just not quite enough. So that'll be an exciting game. Now then, I didn't mention both of those games hosted by the New York Excelsior in the Hammerstein Ballroom, apparently. So that's very exciting. Of course, this season now being whatever you want to call it, hosted in teams' home cities and everything. So very exciting to see that. So that is Saturday, February 8th, 11 a.m. for the first game, 1 p.m. for the London versus New York game. Then also on February the 8th, the Saturday, but not in New York, hosted by the Dallas Fuel in Dallas, February 8th, 3 p.m., the LA Gladiators versus the Vancouver Titans. Now, that game should be quite interesting. Now, I say that obviously as a Vancouver Titans fan, but also as a, you know, I could call myself a casual LA Gladiators fan. I definitely like the team. Again, like I said, I liked Sherfour, who's, you know, not there anymore. He's now in Toronto. But I liked what they had going on. You know, Big Goose, they got a couple decent names on their team. It'll be interesting to see what they can make of this next season, because I think they were definitely on the rise last season, even if they ended up placing, you know, I would say top end middle of the pack, but I think they had a good thing going, so it'll be interesting to see if what they can keep going. Vancouver, obviously, I don't think I need to talk too much about because I just ultimately want them to win everything. I would love to see them be the grand finals. grand finalists, the big winners. They should win it all. Again, I suspect that San Francisco is still going to be quite dominant this year, but you never know between meta shifts and, you know, new players, old players, shuffling players, all that fun stuff. I'm quite excited to see how all that pans out. So, after that, coming in at 5 o'clock the same day, Saturday, February 8th, the LA Valiant, the other LA, the newly colored blue and yellow, oddly enough, LA, plays the Dallas Fuel. That one, personally, I'm not too interested, too excited for. I don't have much of a horse in the race with either team, but at the same time, I mean, hosted by Dallas Fuel, it's in Dallas, it's a Dallas home game, so it'd be exciting to see them win just because, you know, it's a home game and Dallas has a solid fan base, that's for sure. Also, Andy Cortez, Maximum Cortez, will be doing some stuff with them at that game, so that's very exciting. Then we jump to Sunday, February 9th at 11 a.m., the London Spitfire versus the Paris Eternal. Obviously, I already talked a bit about my thoughts on London, as well as Paris sort of being the odd man out, it seems, in these games that I'm not too familiar with, although I see another one coming up. So, you know, don't really care too much about that game. Sorry if you do, but I'm moving on. Sunday, February 9th, 1 p.m., the Boston Uprising against the New York Excelsior. That one will be interesting just because it's a bit more of a clash in terms of, you know, Boston versus New York. But at the same time, New York, I think, expected to be largely more dominant over Boston. Personally, Boston is, like I said, the other team that I'm not incredibly familiar with, but I just don't expect to really see a ton of interesting stuff there. So, moving on to Sunday, February 9th at 3 p.m., we then have the LA Valiant, who played Dallas the day before, playing against the Vancouver Titans, who played the day before as well. So, another interesting one, and I think probably, you know, just a wild guess, I'm going to guess Vancouver's going to win that game more likely than they win the game against the Gladiators. That's just based on, you know, knowing the two LA teams. I think the Gladiators are the more dominant of the two. But hey, we'll see. You never know what could happen. And then, of course, for the final game of the weekend, we see the big boys, the grand finalists, the grand champions. That's what we should call them. That's more fitting than whatever gibberish I said earlier. Playing against the home team, Dallas Fuel. So that'll be an interesting one because it'll be our first time seeing the San Francisco Shock back in action. Obviously, Sinatra, Super Moth, all the rest of the boys, they're probably going to continue to be quite dominant. In terms of a first game against Dallas, I would put my money on San Francisco. But hey, you never know. Anything is possible. Ain't that right? And that's a look at the first weekend in the Overwatch League Season 3. Definitely looking forward to it. I'm big time jacked for it. I debated, you know, throwing a little party at my house, having some friends over. But, you know, for the most part, me and my wife are the only ones that are into Overwatch League, really. So, didn't end up doing that. But regardless, I'm really excited and I'm looking forward to it. I think for the most part, that's probably all I'm really going to go over right now. Just because I think for my first episode, that was a good amount, a little bit of insight into who I am, what I'm all about, and what I like when it comes to Overwatch and the Overwatch League. I know I didn't really talk about any Overwatch news. I didn't talk about Overwatch 2. I didn't really talk too much about the some of the other happenings and goings-ons in the Overwatch League, but hey, we can save that for another time. So hopefully you enjoyed what you heard. Again, my name's Jordan, my name's Sir, you can call me whatever you want, and this was the first episode of One Man Watch Point.